you stand, please? Thank you, and be seated. Well, it's my privilege to welcome you to the homegoing service of Brother Dennis Martin, and we're going to ask Brother Dan Carr if he would come and start our service in prayer. And following Brother Dan will be Eileen and Letitia Strickland. They'll be singing a duet, and following them will be Brother Earl Payne bringing some special music.
Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank thee for the gift of life. You have appointed the time and the place where each of us would be born. And you've told us that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And we are also reminded that not a sparrow shall fall without the Father's noticing it. And we know that you have welcomed Dennis home, and we follow him one day. And I pray that you would bless our memories today of Dennis, and also to be reminded that we will follow him. And I pray that you would bless this proceeding today, every testimony and music and message. And as we meet together, help us, Father, help us to put this in perspective. Thank you again for Dennis and his life and his love for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Shall still endure all measureless Thank you, ladies. That was one of Dennis's favorite songs. During the end of his life, I was over at the hospital with him, and he was just laying there with his eyes closed, and he wasn't feeling very well. And I knew he liked that song, so I didn't have anything brilliant to say at the moment, so I started humming that song to him. And as soon as he caught on to what I was humming, he said, "Sing that song for me." And I just have a way of remembering songs, so I happened to remember it and sang it to him, and he just really enjoyed that. I know he would have appreciated you singing that here today. I'm going to bring you one or two or three songs. We'll see how it goes, okay? But these are special songs. One, Dennis's wife, Ann, asked me to play. And so I'll play that one. One is from a poem that Dennis wrote, and excuse me, it's got a special meaning attached to it. And so we may do that one. And then one is a song I wrote yesterday morning, thinking about Dennis passing, and that one's a little risky, but I think I might try that one too. So we'll just see how that goes. But, this song is called "What a Day That Will Be." Excuse me, I got something in my throat. Maybe that'll take care of it. And this is one I sang at the hospital to him, too, when he was feeling really bad. I just started singing it, and he liked it a lot. And it's one you probably know. Let's see if we can get this thing going. Thank you.
There's coming a day when the heartaches will come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All its peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus eyes will see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burden to bear. No more sickness, no more pain, no more crying over there. Forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen. Looking forward to that. You know, it's not far away for any of us. Dennis wrote a poem, and actually he wrote it because my daughter Rebecca needed a poem for her class assignment here at Calvary Christian School. And he produced this poem, and it turned up later in her bedroom, and she brought it to me and said, "Look what I found. This is a poem that Dennis had written." And it just sounded like a song, so we sat down and a song came out of it. But it's about a story. It's from a sermon illustration. And in the sermon illustration, the story is that when the pioneers traveled west long ago, and they would go in wagon trains, and they faced many dangers, but one of the greatest dangers, if not the greatest danger they faced, were wildfires. They didn't have helicopters to fly in, put out the fires. They didn't have all kinds of things that we have today. They didn't have radios to tell you the fire was near you. They would just see smoke out on the horizon. And the winds could be very strong, and the fire would just sweep across the plains. And if you're caught out there in the middle of the plains with a huge fire miles wide coming at you, there's really not much you can do. About the only thing you could do is burn out an area and get in the middle of it. And so when the fire got to you, it would go around you instead of burning you up. And so that's an illustration of how we as sinners, we face the fire of righteous judgment for our sin. We all deserve judgment. And God sent his Son to bear our sin upon the cross in his own body and to become sin for us. The fire of God's judgment fell on the Lord Jesus Christ. And because it did, we can hide ourselves in him. We can stand where the fire has been.
Well, in the days of old, Brother Blood ran cold when the fire swept across the plain. There was no safe place to hide your face except where the fire had waned. except with a fired wing. Now in a forest fire, when the flames leap higher and you're up to your neck in sin, you better learn that you're gonna burn unless you get where the fire has been. Get where the fire has been. Now rage and fire is a fearful thing, and there's judgment there for sure. But within the flame shines a precious name of Jesus, clean and pure. All other names will corrupt and rust, they cannot atone for sin. But I know I must give the Lord my trust, for he stands where the fire has been, friend. He stands where the fire has been. Well, today it's still true that for me and you there's safety in just one name. He's the precious word that can still be heard, and he's protection from the flame. But perhaps you say some other day, I'll trust the Lord and get things right. Oh, but what, dear friend, if you should meet your end? What if your soul is required tonight? What if your soul is required tonight? Stand where the fire has been, friend. Stand where the fire has been. Well, that tells you a little bit about Uncle Dennis. He was Uncle Dennis to us. Dennis and Ann never had any children. My wife and I couldn't do anything but have children. And we have 16 grandchildren, 7 children, and Uncle Dennis and Aunt Ann were part of our family. They were always at our birthday parties. They were always at our Thanksgivings and Christmases and any 4th of July celebration or anything like that. When we went on vacation, they went with us. We were always together. And Dennis was first and foremost a Christian. He did a lot of things in his life. He had a lot of interests, but first and foremost, he was a Christian. I wrote this song, and pardon my stumbling around. I this was all kind of impromptu. But I think that something Dennis, it helps you understand Dennis a little better, and I think he'd want you to think about some of these things. This song's called "Over in the Freedom Land," and this is the last one. And it comes from John 8:36. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And you know, the Lord made Dennis free from a lot of things. He sets his people free. People are looking for freedom from all kinds of things. Freedom from authority. Freedom from everything to try to get away from anybody that's going to try to control them. And then they get hooked on things and they're not free and they're in bondage again. But Dennis was set free, except he had this body that wasn't set free. He had crippled feet, he had bad legs, and it caused him to be bedridden. And I remember his stacks of backpacking magazines. He liked to read about backpacking, he liked to read about camping and hiking, and he loved to read about the Appalachian Trail. And he couldn't go there, he was in a wheelchair, but he liked to read about those things. And one time we were up at Damascus, Virginia, and the Appalachian Trail crosses through the little village of Damascus, Virginia, and he wanted to get his picture taken right in front of this sign, right by a little general store that said Appalachian Trail. So he got to go on the Appalachian Trail. But anyway,
his old legs and his old feet aren't bothering him anymore. And I sat down yesterday morning, and I just, before I had to go out and take care of some business, and you know, this is the way songs come sometimes. You just sat there, and I wrote this song. That's what happened. So I was thinking the Lord gave it to me, and I hope I'll get through it all right. Give me a minute to pick a little bit here.
I was thinking of my brother today. He left everything behind and slipped away. He's gone to his long home with the King of Glory over in the Freedom Land. He was baptized in the Savior's precious blood. He'd been covered with that crimson cleansing flood. His sins washed away, and he was fit for glory over in the Freedom Land. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I can almost hear his praises echoing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All glory to my Savior and King. He's young again who once was old and frail. And he's hiking and he's leaping on God's trail. And his pain and suffering's past. He's singing the gospel story that Freedom Land. And I know he'd have me pass this word to you. As the land of sin and sorrow you pass through, bow your heart to Jesus and believe the gospel story and meet me in the Freedom Land. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I can almost hear his praises echoing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All glory to my Savior and King. All glory to my Savior and King. All glory to my Savior and King.
Text for our message this afternoon comes from two verses in 1 John chapter 3. First one is verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And then verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we ask you to quiet our hearts before you for a few moments as we look into your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Dennis Martin was born on March the 30th, 1942. He grew up in Raleigh. He moved to Charlotte in 1970 to sell something that some of you young people may not even know what it is, a telephone answering machine. He even worked as a locksmith there. Dennis had an interest in doing magic tricks as a teenager, and he became part of a magic show that traveled from Mexico to Canada and most of the points in between. This group traveled half the year with a circus, the Royal Hannaford Circus, where Dennis not only took part in the magic show, he worked as a clown, he worked as a stagehand, setting up the various circus events and the sound that went along with it. Gail and I first met Dennis in 1975. He had moved to Durham to work at WPTF. He worked at WPTF, a radio station there in Raleigh, for several years. He left WPTF and he became a photographer at Channel 11 in Durham. And one of the people that he worked with was a young reporter who was just starting out in television news. And that reporter was my brother Mark. Dennis and Mark did a lot of assignments together. They went on a lot of stories together. I'm not going to give you all of the stories, but they had some very interesting times. We first met Dennis at Mark and Becky's apartment in Cary. And when we met him there, we had no idea of the blessing that Dennis Martin was going to be to our lives. At that first meeting, I was struck by a couple of things. I was struck by Dennis's knowledge. He knew a lot about a lot of things. He was an incredibly interesting person to listen to because of the places he had been and because of the different things and experiences that he'd had. The other thing that struck me about Dennis at our first meeting was his sense of humor. His brother Mike was telling me a story a minute ago. Dennis was, I know why he and Mark were such kindred spirits, because Mike was telling me that Dennis had this great interest in radio from a very early age. And he had a radio, not a portable one. He had to plug it in and was trying to make it pick up better. And so he ran a wire out of the house around the clothesline. The problem is it was a metal clothesline. And there came that moment when Mom came out and she grabbed a hold of the clothesline and she couldn't turn it loose. So a neighbor came and helped her get free. And Dennis, as he told the story later, remembered complaining about how bad the reception was at that point in time. I'll give you one other example of something that illustrates Dennis's humor and his knowledge. On one of our recent visits to Dennis in the hospital, the nurse came in and she was going over the list of medicines to make sure that he'd taken all of his pills. And she did something I'd never heard a medical person do before, and she referred to one of his pills as a horse pill because it was so large. And I couldn't help but laugh. I thought that was something that we referred to in our family and the kids complained about when they had to take these big pills. Well, Dennis just kind of chuckled and he looked at me and he said, "You know how they give a horse those big pills, don't you?" He said, "They take a tube and they put it in the horse's mouth and then they blow the pill down the horse's throat." And then he smiled and he said, "I'll tell you a little story. I read about a vet that his staff came in one day and they looked at him and he looked a little stunned and out of sorts. And when they asked him what was wrong, he said, the horse blew first." That was Dennis. I learned two things that day. I learned how horses get their pills, and I learned to be sure to blow first if you ever have to give a horse a pill. That was Dennis. Someone who had a knowledge about all kinds of things, combined with a very keen wit and very keen sense of humor. He knew a great deal of trivia. We made the mistake a few times of playing Trivial Pursuits with him. You lost. Unless you could get him on your team and Ann wouldn't give him up. So, but after that first meeting with Dennis, we saw him one other time that I can remember. And we wouldn't see him again until 1987. During that period of 11 or 12 years, some very important things took place in Dennis's life. First and foremost, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He began listening to Pastor Kelly's sermons through the tape ministry. We didn't have sermon audio in those days. And as a result, he moved here to Southern Pines to come to this church. That was in 1978. He came here with no job. But you see, Dennis was obedient to the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 6, where the Lord tells his people to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All of these other things, like a job and food and clothing. Dennis found a job when he got here. He worked at the Moore County Sheriff's Department for 28 years. And something else happened, and I hope you young people will think about this. Something else happened when Dennis sought first the things of the Lord. When he came to the church where he knew the Lord wanted him to be, the Lord introduced him to a young lady by the name of Ann Wilson. And they were married in 1978. They were married for over 38 years. Another testimony of Dennis and Ann. It was in 1987 that we came in contact with Dennis again and met Ann for the first time. We moved here from South Carolina after 10 wasted years of running from the Lord and running from the place that he wanted us to be. We lived in Mary Gillis's house when we first moved here, and we were thinking maybe about building a house. And one evening, Richard Johnson rode me over and showed me a piece of land, and he said, I'm not going to ever use this land. You're welcome to it if you want it. He said, I'm not sure there's enough here to build a house on, but you're welcome to the land. A couple of days later, I got a phone call from Dennis. And he said, brother, you have this land surveyed. And you tell the surveyor that whatever is not sufficient in the land that Brother Richard gave to you, you just have him survey enough of my land that is adjacent to yours so that you'll have enough land to build a house. That's why 1 John 3:18 came to my mind this afternoon as I thought about Dennis. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Folks, Dennis Martin and Ann Martin were living examples of that verse to our family. They loved us in deed and in truth. And there's a reason that Dennis made the phone call to us that he made. And it's here in verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. There's an order in that verse that we want to think about for a minute. God has arranged the circumstances of our life to bring us to this place on this day at this time. There's a passage of scripture that I try to read or mention at every funeral service in this church because it's a critical verse for each of us to think about. It's Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. It's better to go to the house of mourning. That's the opposite of the way that we think. We think of today as a hard day. We think of today as a sad day, and that it is. But you know, it's here in the house of mourning, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, that we experience his love in deed and in truth as he ministers to us in a very special way. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, Moses blessed the tribes of Israel before his death. And he says of Asher in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 25, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." But where's the strength going to come from? Is it going to come from ourselves? Whose strength are we talking about? We're talking about the Lord's strength. That's whose strength the Spirit of God has in mind. His strength is equal to our days. If our day is full of sorrow, and this one is, he's the God of all comfort. If our day is full of care and worry as we contemplate the future, God's strength says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If our day is full of toil and labor and pressure, God's strength says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it's here in the house of mourning that the Lord teaches his children these things, in deed and in truth. There's another reason that it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, and that is the house of mourning is the end of all men. This is our end right here. And God says the living will lay it to his heart. This is our end. And the Lord has brought us here today. He's brought us here in his mercy and grace to remind us of that. James chapter 4 and verse 14 says, "For what is your life? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:24, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever." Our time on this earth is short, and it ends in death. And we don't know when, we don't know how, we don't know where death is going to overtake us, but we know it's coming. And that's where we are this afternoon as we sit in this service. Now, maybe there's someone here thinking, what a depressing message. No, it's not a depressing message. It's reality. It's the most important reality of life, death. That brings us to the point of this message. In the light of the fact that the house of mourning is our end, and the Lord has brought us here to lay these things to our hearts, we need to lay to our heart 1 John 3:23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. As we mentioned a minute ago, there's an order in that verse, in that verse of the commandments that are there. It's an order that is eternally and critically important. The first commandment that we're to obey is that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Acts 16:31 is another command. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's a command. And in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, in his message on Mars Hill, Paul said that now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Why did he command now? Because the word of God says that we're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And so God says now. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repentance is turning to God from our sin. It's a 180-degree change of direction in the life. It's a change of mind that results in a change of heart, that results in a change of direction in the life. Why do we need to obey His commandment? What's our problem? Do we have a problem, as Mr. Creech asks so often? We do. And our problem is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We need to obey His commandment because Hebrews 9:27 says that it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And right here, all through many times in our lives, some of you young people, not as many times as some of us older people, but God brings us to a place. He brings us to a house of mourning to show us the truth of His word. He's brought us here so that we might lay that to our hearts. Brother Dennis wrote a little poem, and Ann sent me a copy of it this morning. And he had a little note up at the top of it, which is just exactly like Dennis. "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" by Martin Luther, circa 1527 to 1529. This additional verse by Dennis Martin, circa 1985, with apologies to Martin Luther. And here's the verse that he added. "Straight is the gate and narrow the way that leads unto salvation. Christ Jesus did my sin debt pay. He bore my condemnation. On Calvary's hill died He from sin to set me free. He rose and lives today. The truth, the life, the way. My light, there is none brighter." You can't improve on that message, on that testimony. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Because he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Dennis obeyed the command of God. He repented of his sin and he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Dennis was obedient to the first commandment there in 1 John 3:23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And because Dennis was obedient to the first commandment in this verse, then he could be obedient to the second commandment in this verse. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Dennis Martin loved our family, indeed and in truth. He demonstrated that 30 years ago when he gave us land. He didn't have to give us. And he did that not so he could be saved. He did that because he was saved. He did it because the love of God was shed abroad in his heart. Have you been obedient to the command of God to believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ? If you haven't, that's why you're here today, whether you know it or not. God's brought you here to lay this message to your heart and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. If we know Him today, then the second commandment in this verse applies to each of us. The first commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, then and only then can we be obedient to the second commandment and love one another as He gave us commandment. And remember what love is. Love's not what we say. Brother Dennis could have called me that day and said, "Brother, I want you to know I love you. And I sure hope you figure out a way to get enough land to build you a house there." That would have been loving in word and in tongue. He loved indeed and in truth. That's what love is. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." The Lord doesn't just bring lost people to the house of mourning. He brings His children to the house of mourning. And He brings us here to do the same thing in our hearts that He wants to do in the hearts of those who are lost. And that is to remind us that this is our end. And the living will lay it to his heart. And what the Lord would have us lay to our heart today is that only the living can love. Only the living can love indeed and in truth. It's too late when we're gone. It's too late when our brothers and sisters are gone. Only those who are alive can love. And so if we know the Lord today, let's lay to our hearts what I believe Brother Dennis Martin had laid to his heart. 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service today. We thank you for the life of Dennis Martin. We thank you for the testimony that he was indeed and in truth. We thank you this afternoon that what is faith to us in this place at this moment is sight to Brother Dennis. Absent from the body and present with the Lord. We pray that you would help us today to examine ourselves before you in the light of the fact that the house of mourning is the end of all men. We pray that we might lay that to our hearts. We pray that you would bless Ann today, that you would encourage her, that you would comfort her, that she would know your presence today and in the days ahead. And we ask you to bless all of the family. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would, open your hymn book to number 147. Number 147. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we'll sing Amazing Grace. We'll sing the first and the last verse of Amazing Grace. Cemetery in Aberdeen right after we dismiss in prayer. And also at 3:00, the family would like to invite you to come back here and meet in our cafeteria to meet with them for food and fellowship at 3:00. So if you would keep that in mind. Pastor Gibson.
Our Father, we pray that you would part us with your blessing. We pray that we would not leave this place unchanged from the songs that have been sung and the word that's been presented in those songs and from the verses of scripture that have been read from this precious book. We ask you to bless us as we go to the cemetery, that everything that's said and done throughout this day would bring glory and honor to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his precious name. Amen.